to Be Simply. This is she, and I want to give thanks to each and every one of you that are connecting in this moment. Today we have special guest Zot Baraka. He is going to share his wisdom, his gifts to assist and lead men through rites of passage, exploration, and transformation. Without further ado, let's dive in with Zot. Zot, I want to thank you so much for being here today. I'm really excited to have you share your wisdom around the masculine and your passion and inspiration for doing so right now. Thank you for being here.
Yay, happy to be here with you.
I wanted to start out if you could share with the listeners why you're so inspired to assist in the evolution of the masculine embodiment right now and how you found your path to right here.
Simply put, I would say that just through my own personal deep exploration into the mature masculine or the healthy masculine or the sacred masculine, and just really delving into that work, it's inspired me to do the same to help men, which is a little different than just doing personal growth or spiritual growth work. I think that if I would have just focused on this general kind of spiritual growth and personal growth, then I might not have the insights and or the drive to work with men. So there is, you know, that difference when you're focusing on understanding masculine programming and on being an empowered masculine man and all things involved with that, focusing on that as opposed to just how can I develop myself to be a better person. And so what that has led me to is to seeing how the planet as a whole would benefit so much more through awakening men, because I've worked with women and I've worked with couples, and I just get the most juice out of this work. And it's actually, you know, it's more challenging work. Working with men is not really very simple. It can be really challenging as a whatever term I want to call myself, a coach, a facilitator, a guide, a teacher, whatever. It keeps me very engaged, and I have to be really on point and continue pushing myself, you know, to my edge of my own growth.
Beautiful. Share a little bit about really the bringing in the essence, because of part of your Tibetan influences, your tantric influences, just the idea of a practice and what that means for you and people that you engage in working, looking inward and evolving and metamorphosing.
In terms of what would a practice look like? Is that you're trying to get my idea?
Just what the importance of that word is.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In the Tibetan lineage, you have sutric, you have this sutriyana, the sutric path, which is really the path of teachings or of the writings or of book knowledge. You have tantra, you have dzogchen. Tantra is both practice and study. And so if you look at the simple foundational teaching in Buddhism of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, the Buddha is symbolic of a teacher or of a guide or facilitator. The Dharma is the teachings, and then the Sangha is the community. And so what that means for me and why having a practice is so crucial, you have the Dharma as one of the three jewels, as it's called, which gives you the information. So, you're reading your texts, you're receiving teachings from a teacher, and the only way you can really embody those is through practice, is through being with the conscious community, through being with the Sangha and engaging in practice. And then, of course, the third jewel that I mentioned is the Buddha, which is symbolic of the teacher. But reading a book's not going to do it. You know, reading 20 books, 100 books is not going to do it unless you're in there practicing. And actually, a simple but silly analogy would be you could read all day on how to lose weight, or you could read all day on how to build your muscles. But if you don't go in and you don't work out, nothing's going to happen. You're really not going to, unless you have some magical powers that, you know, can build your muscles up just through the mind, you know? So practice is where the work happens. This is, you know, just as well as in relationship. If you're going through a hard time in a relationship, You can talk about the problems and one's issues all day long, but until one goes, sits down, and does some form of practice to help process and digest and clear whatever needs to be processed, digested, and cleared, it's very difficult. We know that moving through habits and patterns and tendencies, or one may call it karmas, is very difficult to move through in life. That's why, you know, we're all doing this work. So practice is the key. It's the foundation to making the changes happen that we really seek.
Mm. Well said.
Does that answer?
That's beautifully articulated.
Yeah. I mean, one other way that I like to look at it is that we have the physical gym, right? So we can go to the gym to work out our body. We can go to the yoga studio also to work out our body. But we also have our emotional and our spiritual gym and our mind gym that we have to go into and work with constantly in order to strengthen those muscles and to, move through new levels of health and growth. And so doing the work, and that's what I do with my guys, they do the work, and through the practices and through doing the work, you know, you yield phenomenal results. And people in all traditions know this. I'm sure you know this as well. So this is the point that I really push with people. I think and I'm glad this is an opening question, because so many people stay stuck for their whole life because they don't really know how to step in and do practice, some kind of practice, whatever that may be. There's so many different ones that we can be engaged in, right? So.
Aho.
All right.
So I would love for you to share where you feel the masculine collective, and this is a big question, is right now, and where you see and feel it moving towards, and how we collectively, through our consciousness, really thoughts, actions, words, can support that transformation within ourselves, being that I look at, we have both male and female in us, and outside of ourselves, helping our fellow man, literal man, through the shift and the change.
You know, right now the work is the continuation of the work. It's about reimagining these old thought models of like God as male, embracing war and all these kinds of masculine programming around homophobia and all these kinds of things. It's about reimagining all these ways and all these concepts into this total and complete shift into a new way of being for men. And, you know, I call my work evolutionary work because it's based on this idea of that each person's individual growth, healing, and transformation is the foundation to evolving the entire world. So the focus with men is essential. Like I was saying, you know, this old model of masculinity hasn't been working for a very long time, and it would be easy to say that is the major cause for the current state of our planet. And so, you know, just working one by one or in groups, and just, you know, the movement just keeps continuing. It's been building. I would say the men's movement as a whole has really been about nearly 30 years in the making, in the current format. I mean, sure, there's always been men working on themselves. There's always been yogis. There's always been tantrics. There's always been that happening. But in terms of like the modern men's movement and all the books out there and people who have kind of forged the path, like Robert Bly and Sam Keen and Bill Kalth and Robert Moore and all these guys who, and then of course David Data. I believe it's building critical mass right now, and a lot of that is due in part to the women's movement getting very strong and men seeing they need to catch up. I feel it's really building right now. There's a lot more interest, and I'm teaching at all these festivals, and all these places want the men's work now. So it's just evident, just as well as women's empowerment work is so important. The men's movement, the men's empowerment work is growing. You know, I'm working on my book. I want to get my book out there to sort of help launch all everything that I've done and all the work and all the studies that I've done to help bring men into the fold. There was a second part to your question.
So how do you think collectively we can support this? Because if I love how you bring up the old paradigm, the old model, and I just had a beautiful opportunity to practice this in this past week with someone that's near and dear to my heart, is that if the whole world is looking at you or I in one lens, and we keep looking at it, you know, I just keep seeing you that way, you're just going to probably still be that way for the most part, because I'm not willing to let go of that perspective. How can we, the collective, start to shift our perspective on the possibility of that, this evolution of the men's transformation right now here on this planet?
Well, that is, you know, that's a big piece around the shaming piece. And there's still a lot of that going on. A lot of the shaming comes from women, which is, you know, one would think that it mainly comes from men shaming other men. But I would say that if you look at the way that it's been moving, so we look at this first model of men, which is the macho tough guy model, and then in through the women's empowerment, or we'll say that the feminist movement, the men were told that they were, you know, no longer, that was no longer acceptable, so men shifted into the more feminine model, you know, the sensitive new age guy, right? And so now we're looking towards the integration of that. And so my point is around how women have taken on a big piece in this as well, in terms of the shaming of men, looking at how men have been and how that has not been working, and how much pain and suffering and destruction that has caused to our planet and to women and to animals. And so that is a really important piece for women right now to understand, is how they can help to evolve men and their emotional maturity, their spiritual maturity, and how they can be an active part in that. And I think that's one big piece right there. Of course, having awakened men out there sharing the work is where men are going to get the most growth. I mean, men are going to learn the most through men. Men in circle, men in community, men in personal development, spiritual work, really feel more at ease. Of course, working around just men, there's a whole shift that happens in a man as soon as you bring the Shakti in, as soon as you bring a woman into the space, there's a whole level of authenticity that drops out for men.
Right.
But my point around how women specifically can support the work, and I was making the reference to the shaming piece, is, you know, how can we support men to evolve and to grow without having, the shaming aspect and the blaming. And because what that does for men and how that can also perpetuate it, is men just go into reaction and they go into defense and they continue acting in the same way. So it's a very precarious. Of course, I'm not blaming women. I'm saying how women can be supportive to men is by looking at, you know, and how they're raising their sons, and all a big piece around sexuality. So it's a big task, but it's happening, you know, through women becoming more empowered and being able to master themselves and learn how to skillfully work within this construct of the patriarchy, and learning how to work within the challenge of the masculine, and learning how to support men rather than shame them. And I'm seeing that a lot in the clients that I'm working with, is even though the men are doing the work, and that they're not being supported by their women in the way that would be really helpful. And I had the same experience many, many years ago when I was married a long time ago. When I started doing the work, what I was told was, oh, you're a woman hater, you're just, you know, you're these kind of things. I was called a lot of names around, like, and she didn't understand. I was like, no, I'm trying to grow myself, I'm trying to help myself. So I think this is a really big and important piece. And luckily right now I have an amazing woman that is, you know, so grateful for the work that I'm doing. But women can be really, really helpful in this way in looking at how they are relating to their men and how they can support their men in this way to do the work.
Beautiful. Fully want to acknowledge, and having done this on the behalf of women, that I think you're absolutely right that we have participated so wholeheartedly in the blame, shame, pain game, and perpetuating these cycles. And one, I take my responsibility and apologize for any and all occasions that I participated. Number two, if you can share a little bit of how you would encourage male or female to get off that treadmill or that gerbil ball with a partner or a friend so they stop the repeat of those cycles. And if you can give them a couple clues on how to pay attention to their speech, to their thoughts, their actions, that might correct and give them a practice to initiate the process.
One of the first thing that comes to mind is that for men who are not, that they don't understand the deeper underpinnings of the male-female dynamic. You know, one thing that women do for men is they test their men. They, you know, this is like a biological imperative that happens. And part of the challenge for men is they don't understand this, and they don't understand how to work within the chaos of the feminine. They don't understand how to work within all that potent energy that women have. And so they just see women as challenging, as crazy, as highly emotional, or whatever kind of labels men will you know, put on women. They don't know how to work skillfully within the field of the woman or of feminine energy. When women are testing their men, maybe it will be through a challenge, or maybe it will be just through a simple interaction of changing their mind about something, right? And then men can become triggered through that, because men ultimately want to please their women, but that's, you know, it's a woman's prerogative to change, because that's the flow of Shakti, or that's the flow of feminine energy. And so it may be a stretch, but for women to understand that, not that they shouldn't continue to be women and have the beauty that's in, you know, inherently carried in their feminine energy, but most men are not aware of really how to skillfully work with the tests that women give men. And so women need to be a little mindful in helping their men out a little bit. Every woman, of course, wants their man to be strong and decisive and clear and have a mission and have purpose and be on point, at the same time be really, you know, compassionate, loving, generous, caring, but maintain that strong masculine sexual potency and strength and power. And so one simple way for women to be able to support men in that is by keeping an awareness of those times in which they can see that their men are not able to handle the potency of their feminine nature.
And as you're speaking, the word came to mind is space, and if you can share how you feel and relate to being given space and what it allows the masculine to do when that's provided.
Well, you know, what's interesting, I'm going to answer that question, but what's interesting right now is yes, the typical masculine trait is spaciousness, because women are radiance or light or energy, if you look at a woman's feminine nature, and then masculine nature is that of consciousness, which is space or, you know, I always like to use the metaphor of men are the household, right? So men are like the structure, and everything within that structure is the feminine. The fireplace, the food, the kids running around, the electricity in the house, everything inside, all of that is the feminine energy inside. So men are the container. They hold that. I won't get too much into Kashmir Shaivism or Tantra, some beautiful metaphors in there, but we can look at the enlightened or the unenlightened aspect of masculine of the masculine or masculine qualities. The unenlightened aspect would be being aloof, being unaware, being distant, being disconnected. What women really want from men, of course, is presence. They want that total connected eye gaze, strength of a man's breath and his complete holding of the container and full presence, and that allows women to feel safe and to, you know, drop more into the beauty of their feminine and to give their gifts in that way. And so just giving a little background on this, I think with some context
Definitely.
Would be good. In answering your question about space, are you wanting me to answer for both men and women,
well,
or just
no,
for women?
For men, when you were speaking, women being one, sometimes mm-hmm. we want something when we want it, and we want it now. Mm. And from my perspective and observation and having a son, mm-hmm. watching that sometimes space is needed to allow him to, the male, to
yes.
take it in, mm-hmm. digest it, giving him the chance to come forward when he's ready, whatever it might be in relation to. Just if you speak a little bit from your perspective, being a man, how that might be of assistance or not, to bring the male and female to a moment where it's much more harmonious versus a push-pull or a reactionary situation.
That's a really good point. This what this brings to mind is the simple idea around it is the man's responsibility to hold the space for the relationship, and it's also a man's responsibility to go through his woman's tests and to go through the intensity of the relationship through keeping presence and through being in his breast and in his breath. A little Freudian slip
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's okay.
And I think that the simplicity of it is this, is if men can really understand that, and this is going to be, you know, quite a big encapsulation of the importance of this, that it's the man's responsibility to maintain the relationship. It's the man's responsibility to maintain the state of the relationship. If we're to allow you, beautiful women, to be in your natural and full expression, it's up to us to be able to maintain that level of not to be confused with being unpassionate, but being dispassionate from what's occurring in the space. Meaning, if a woman is, let's say, she's having it's her moon time. It's her time of the month where she's, you know, she's bleeding, and the emotions are very strong. The hormones are very strong. It's totally up to the man to not be disconnected and not be making jokes about, oh, it's that time of the month, but rather really holding that beautiful presence of awareness and that spaciousness for women to do what they do naturally. And to answer your question, as far as giving men the opportunity to be in that place when they're in reactivity, whether it's a child, a boy, or a man, is giving men the opportunity to, when their stuff's being triggered, when their issues and when their traumas or wounds, whatever you want to call it, is being triggered, that women need to allow men to go into that place of spaciousness, to go into that place. And it's not always the enlightened aspect. It may be completely disconnected or repressing or ignoring, but that is how the stereotypical masculine trait, that is how men process, is by going off on their own, disconnecting, working within their, you know, as fast as they can within their nervous system to process their challenges. And so there is the enlightened aspect and there's the unenlightened aspect of spaciousness for men. And so it's the same way when a man is working with anger. There's an enlightened piece and then there's an unenlightened aspect. And so it's important for men to see when they are disconnecting from a place of neurosis, or if they are disconnecting consciously with their breath and needing to step out and process whatever needs to be processed so that they can come back in into the relationship with their partner and, you know, carry on that way. So it's important for women to be able to allow men that Because if we go into the typical situation where women, where the feminine is grasping and in that neurotic state of neediness and grasping and wanting answers right now, and I want to talk right now, and I need to solve this right now, that just triggers the neurotic masculine, which forces men to step away further and disconnect and communicate less, right?
Right. And as you're explaining it, you're explaining the left and right hemisphere of the brain so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and what you said is true. Obviously, there's you know, we're composed of both. But what I was going to say before I started to talk about was more and more and more men are that I'm in contact with and I see are have more of that red energy, more of the red essence, more of the feminine. And this is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's important to see as a man if you are relating more from your neurotic feminine.
Right.
Meaning that, that place of...
Yeah, let's talk about her and him. The neurotic feminine and the male. I think it's really important.
Yeah.
If you don't mind sharing.
Sure. So... I just explain like your kind of typical, I'll say anywhere in the world, but your typical American couple.
What, Western developed country.
I'm going to say typical, meaning when I say typical, I'm going to be referring to maybe people that have not had any training in this even had any kind of relationship training, or they haven't done any reading on relationship or on any of this kind of stuff. The stereotypical traits of the feminine, really coming from a man's point of view, is grasping and needy and highly emotional and chaotic and crazy, you know, changing their mind and, you know, this whole thing that men have been saying, like, they can't understand, I can't understand a woman, I can't understand a woman, I can't understand the moods that she's in and why she changes her mind from one second to the next, and first it's this, then it's that. And so the neurotic aspects of the feminine is around needing to have things, as I said before, needing to have things solved right away, needing to, and this is, you know, coming from the codependent model of gaining their sense of self and their self-worth from being wanted and needed from their partner and being fulfilled from, you know, gaining from an outside source. And then for the masculine, the neurotic aspect of the stereotypical man would be repressed, unavailable emotionally, not sensitive, aloof, you know, anger is a big one. Anger is a really big one. So either men have this anger that is covert or overt, covert, repressed, and that shows up as a lot of self-hatred and self-blame, which is not realized. It's not, you know, there's not an awareness of it. And so this kind of self-judgment is always there. So if they sense anything is coming at them from their women, it's just a complete shutdown. And it's the TV, it's the porn, it's, you know, all these other things, smoking, drinking, leaving the house, not wanting to deal with their partner, deal with their woman. And so the model of working with this is around lessening the amount of neurotic reactions to your, you know, your habituated states. And so this does come down to practice. And so as an example, and this is going back to what I was saying earlier, for men to be able to practice being present for their women, and I've talked to plenty of men who say, oh, I listen to her, but what he's actually... What a lot of men do is they sit and they listen, but inside they're just boiling. They can't wait for her to stop talking, or they have an internal dialogue like, oh my God, when's she going to shut up? This is so annoying. But he knows that he has to, you know, do this for his woman, otherwise she'll be more upset, right?
Mm-hmm.
And women can read this, and that's why people or women won't stop talking until they really feel heard. And women will continue to share and share and share because the man is not really present. He's not really heart listening. He's just sitting and doing what he thinks he has to do in order to, you know, have his woman stop talking. And so this path is about, for men, it is about spiritual warriorship because it takes that level of commitment to be a heart-centered man. It takes that level of commitment to process through all of your own habits, patterns, issues, all of your own woundings to really be able to be fully present and be there for your woman in a way where she feels, you know, safe and held to relax into her fullness. So when a man finds himself in this place of tension and when he's not able to handle these tests of the feminine, he needs to be able to consciously, with awareness, say to his partner, say to his woman, I need time to go. I have some frustrations happening. I need to be able to go take care of these right now. So it's okay for a man to leave, go in the other room, process himself, go sit down, you know, whether he's a guy that has an altar or a practice space or just your average Joe Schmo who doesn't have any idea about this. Maybe he just goes in the other room, does some journaling, he does some breathing work, he processes his own tensions, his own reactions, and then he can go back to his partner and be there in a loving, empowered, heart-centered space, you know, to move forward with whatever challenge is coming up in the relationship. In the Tantric Buddhist tradition, there's a practice that we call Yidam practice where you embody, where you go into a visualization where you actually embody a deity or a specific quality, right? Like in the traditional model that a lot of guys know about, king, warrior, magician, lover, where you're taking in one of those traits or qualities. And the reason that we do that is because it helps pull you out of your normal habituated reactive state of mind. So to be able, for a man to be able to recognize when his neurotic masculine is being triggered and he's going into reaction and he's separating from his partner or he's getting angry or he's repressing or he's disconnecting and he's not really listening, that he recognize, okay, I'm in that place that I know I don't want to be. He's able to consciously and compassionately say to his partner, I need to go in the other room for a little while. I need to take a walk. Go out, process as much as he can of himself, and then come back into the interaction with his partner and, you know, be able to hold that loving state of presence for her. And for women to be able to allow men to do that is a really, really important piece. Because that neurotic feminine so wants in the moment to be fulfilled that she, you know, she'll say, no, you can't leave. You're not leaving until we get this sorted out, you know. But that doesn't work. And there's more, and like I was saying before, I'm just noticing more and more and more men that are actually taking on that neurotic feminine, more and more women because of our masculine society that are taking on the neurotic masculine. So it can be very tricky. It can be very hard to navigate through that and understand, you know, what's he doing? What am I doing? And so that's why just send your men to me. I'll help them sort it out.
Beautiful. And I love the integration of your practices. They come through in your words. Mm. If you can share a little bit about the anger, which can be present both on the male and the female, and we live in a kind of an extreme society in the sense that it's like, you know, go to war or it's not okay to have any middle ground. It's like that extreme. It's like death by extreme warfare or suppression, or if there's an explosion, there a lot of labeling, some of that shame and blame starts coming out. And I see it as we as a society haven't learned how to release sooner before the volcano erupts. Mm-hmm. So if you can share a little bit from your perspective on how both male and female can manage anger and address it and how over time that will start to dissipate if you have a practice.
Absolutely. Of course, women have anger too. One of my beliefs is that the lineage of anger is passed down. It's part of the warrior archetype. That lineage of anger is passed down from man to, you know, from father to son, from father to son. And Of course, women can have it too. But women account for like 85% of, of the intimate partner violence, men 15%. So, I mean, and I don't think this kind of statistics are very shocking. I mean, we know that most of the violence perpetrated in the world is from men. The way that men perpetuate this, and I was talking about this before, which are part of the symptoms, is being disconnected from Mother Earth, being disconnected from our bodies, having fear of introspection, fear of intimacy, repressing emotion, and all this really adds up to an addiction to power, power and wealth, and in that is a loss of compassion. And part of what fuels that, this ongoing habit of being disconnected to the earth and disconnected to our bodies and introspection and all these things, is anger. Which is the unenlightened aspect of, unenlightened anger is the aspect of the warrior that is currently still has a hold. When we talk about the patriarchy, that's a big piece of it. You can call it the unenlightened aspect of the king and the unenlightened aspect of the warrior. I love Matthew Fox. If you've heard of Matthew Fox, a phenomenal teacher and writer, he talks in his book, The Hidden Spirituality of Men, about Western culture is just still such a dualistic society, and that values thinking over feeling and material wealth over spiritual and scientific fact over intuition. And so a training in that it can be through anger. So in the Buddhist tradition, anger is one of the five poisons. And the enlightened aspect of anger, when someone takes their anger and they process it and they heal it and they work with it consciously, it's not that we no longer have any anger in us. It's part of our human range of emotions. It's just now it's no longer a destructive, hurtful, and an unconscious anger that we're working with. So the enlightened aspect of anger is what's called mirror-like wisdom. So if you've ever noticed somebody that has you can tell they're very fiery, they have a lot of intensity, they have anger present. They also have innately present within them this ability to have real sharp clarity on things. That's why they call it mirror-like wisdom. There's a cuttingness, there's a sharpness. They can walk into a room and they can sense where things are out of order, or if a friend is having a problem, he can quickly reflect back to him, hey, you said this, but now you're doing this. There's a sharpness, there's a clarity there. So for us to be able to have an awareness that we have anger that is not serving us, and to consciously go in and work with it, we can use the power of that anger for our awakening. And I know that for maybe someone who's not used to this teaching, a good way to simplify it would be, when you get triggered, when your anger gets triggered, what if you were able to take that energy and put that into one of your projects, or into, manifesting, or into bringing more sanity and peace and compassion to the world. But that has to be done first within yourself. And I come from a lineage of anger myself. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, I did some family, genealogy and looking at what's been handed down to my family, and very similar to a lot of men. There's this anger that's been passed down. And women, we tend to see a lot more, of course, everyone has fear, but for women, that lineage is around fear because of the programming that's happened to women and the oppression to women over these thousands of years. So So I think your question was, how can we begin to work with this? Is that right?
Yeah, and address it and slowly starts to dissipate. It becomes that mirror of wisdom versus the nemesis in a situation.
One of the ways that I work with it is through initiation, and now we're getting to another whole conversation, but for men, in the work that I do in my men's programs, is I take men through this initiation out of boy energy into man energy. And when a man makes that commitment to being an aware man, whatever that means to him, not just being a slave to his programming, his upbringing, his conditioning, and his biology. But when he makes a commitment to doing the initiation out of what Robert Moore calls boy psychology or boy energy into man energy, he is then committed to having to work with his anger in a conscious way. If someone, let's say, just backing up a little bit, someone's not going in that far, they just want to, you know, how can I begin to work with my anger? I mean, there's so many tools to work with that. One is, and I think one of the most simplest but most potent is, in times of high emotion is when you best transform a poison or a unhealthy emotion. It's hard to process unhealthy anger when you're not angry, right? So in the yoga tradition, when we look at the best times for practice, either whether it's morning or evening, another best time for practice is in times of high emotion. It's very challenging to do, but if you can see fit to begin even little bits of practice, so you're in an argument with your partner, you're in an argument with your boss or your children or a neighbor, whatever it is, when you're in that time of heightened emotion is when you can go sit down and take out a pad of paper and begin to write all of the things that you want to say to the person that you're angry at onto the paper, and you just let it pour out. And there's so many studies that, and statistics that show just by releasing it on the paper that how much stress it reduces from your body, and your cortisol levels drop, and you know, you're a much healthier person when you don't have all that cortisol coursing through your body. So in times of high emotion, one simple practice is to go sit down at your desk or wherever alone, close the door, and let all that intensity of anger pour out onto paper, letting it come out in its most raw form, so you're not holding back. No one's going to read this. You can use every horrible profanity that you want, right? Mm. And then you go and you burn that.
Beautiful.
So no one would ever read that. I know I didn't really make a delineation between how men and how women can process their anger. It really is very similar,
yeah.
Of course, and how you're going to work with it. The way I work with it with men is through this initiatory process, is through learning how to embody in awakened qualities, or shall we say more mature masculine qualities, through doing embodiment practices and learning about how to bring those more awakened, enlightened qualities into themselves. And of course, women do the same thing with the awakened qualities of the feminine. That's my partner, my fiance actually does, which we make a good team in that way, which is pretty cool.
If you can share, and then we're going to have you share your site and things you have up and coming, but for the men out there, where they can find a little bit of courage to come forward and work with you and do this inner work, because one, it's, you know, to fully acknowledge it's not easy for any of us that decide to look in and start doing our inner work. I think I will acknowledge that to the people I work with, and I'm sure you'll acknowledge it to the men that you work with, that it's not necessarily easy, but it feels really good. The payoff is pretty astounding. So if you can share a little bit about where to find the courage to move forward and take the first step.
The thing I didn't mention that I think is important to mention is around the sexuality piece. That's a big part of the work that I do, and men's sexual empowerment is a huge component in just evolving yourself as a man. And I just wanted to throw that out there because it tends to be a really important thing. Like for most of the men that I work with, after we end up getting into work, into the personal growth work, it always seems to come into this piece around sexuality, because you know, men have such a strong sexual drive, an immediate sexual drive. They have that hot energy that's immediately available to them. So men come for a myriad of reasons to do this work. The reason I bring up the sexuality is because Yes, I've had plenty of men that say they have healthy sexual relationships, but when we really get down into it, we really begin to see that a lot of their unhappiness in themselves and in the relationship is around not having fulfilling enough sex, not having enough sex, not feeling confident enough and to please their, that they're really feeling like they're deeply pleasing their partner in a way that that keeps them feeling confident in their relationship and that keeps them feeling fulfilled in their relationship. So if you can just rephrase the last question again, do you want me to
courage,
share about...
And I think you're giving, maybe that's the gateway that sometimes our men, if they're, maybe that's the gateway you just answered it, is that if, maybe that's the, those are some of the red flags, if within their sexuality and how they relate to it has not been satisfying, maybe that's the invitation to say there's something more to know about yourself and how you potentially can relate to the feminine. Would that be...
That's a, I mean, yes, that, like I said, that's a huge part, and it ends up after doing work together that we, this is a big chunk of the work that we do. It's not up to me, it's not the choice that I make, it's really up to the man, but it's around being sexually fulfilled, it's around not having anger be destructive in your relationship. A big part of the work is around clarity of purpose, around mission and confidence and courage to, you know, forge your own path in your life. So many men I work with feel really disconnected in personal relationships and intimate relationships. There's a lot of men who have a lot of issues around addiction to distractions, right? One of the biggest ones is porn, of course. Spiritual connection is also, as I was talking about earlier, how men are disconnected spiritually, so that's a big one. Harsh self-judgment and unfulfilling career, you know, not living their life's purpose and mission of working in a job that's really unfulfilling to them. And just caught up, being really caught up in the masculine programming and how they think they have to be, how they think they have to look, how they have to be in relationship. And there's just such a disconnect from their true power and so many men want to give back to the world. So many of the men that I work with and in my group sessions, they want to be of service, but they have no idea how to even begin to do that. So they just don't do it. And that leaves a big piece out when really any person, when they don't feel they're giving back, when they're just working to pay their bills, there's a total lack of fulfillment in their life. And so if we can start on the foundational work with looking at how is your relationship to yourself, how do you relate to yourself sexually? Most men do not. They have never had a conversation with their genitals before, right? That's not something that most guys have done. And so, of course, I work with men based on what they need in the moment. And relationship seems to be the place that we end up. Sexuality seems to be the place that we end up because this is the most important place to work. Right?
So there's a lot of distortion there globally in the sacral. So.
I mean, but don't you think that relationship is the most potent place to grow yourself? If a person really wants to grow themselves emotionally and spiritually.
Absolutely.
And so if you're in relationship and you're not using that as an opportunity to grow yourself, you're missing out on a huge opportunity to just sort of go through the motions of relationship but not bring a level of awareness and that language and that, you know, starting that conversation with your partner, like how can we use our relationship to improve ourselves?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I can name like right now probably five friends that are all going through super intense, you know, almost breakdown relationship situations. And if you can learn the skills and if you can learn how to process yourself at a pretty high level of proficiency, you're going to be able to make it through the relationship challenge. Just the pressures from our modern living is hard enough to navigate. But then being in relationship and dealing with my teacher always says, sheer intensity of life is enough to make someone crazy. But then when you're in relationship with someone and you're dealing with their sheer intensity and their craziness, how can we successfully just keep carrying on in our relationship with a sense of fulfillment and joy and ecstasy and love and excitement and adventure and all of this?
Absolutely. And then you add a couple kids in there, makes it even more.
Yeah. My partner is one of the things that she does is she's a childbirth educator, and she helps women with hormones, and so she sees all of these couples. I guess it's something like 50% of all couples that have kids end up splitting up during the first year. And so one of the things that I want to do is I want to work with fathers to be, like fathers who are, with their wife is maybe pregnant with their first child, and work with them to set up a little bit of some foundational tools and some strength building to be able to work with the intensity of that first year of child raising. Yeah.
Well needed, because there's also an abandonment trigger that happens inadvertently, because mama's attention has to go somewhere else. So,
yes. Thank you for that reminder. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty, I work in the birthing realm, and it's hard, and having walked through my own pathways with marriage and kids, watching that abandonment trigger hit, and it's just so be beautiful that you can support the men in that way and let them know that they haven't been left.
No. So you're just going to have to take care of yourself for a little bit, big boy.
Yeah, exactly. That's where they're going to go through the initiation into manhood with you. That would be beautiful.
Yeah, it's powerful work. It's powerful work. I love doing it, and men have phenomenal results. They have more fulfilled life. They have more masculine confidence, and they get on point with what really is fulfilling for them, and they feel better as husbands and fathers and mentors, and being able to process through anger and shame and really become a leader. And that's a big part of the work. I think it's important for men is that every man needs to step up as a leader in, if not in their community, then at least in their family. And everything, that's involved with becoming a leader is requires a man to go above and beyond his normal capacity.
Walk up a few thresholds. Well, Zat, I'd love for you to share just orate your website and let Sacramonic be heard from you out in the world. And then just share a little bit about things that you have up and coming and how people are best to get a hold of you and stay connected to your work.
Website is Zat Baraka, Z-A-T, and the second word, B-A-R-A-K-A. So all one word, zatbaraka.com, Z-A-T-B-A-R-A-K-A. And the next thing I have coming up is in L.A. on May 9th, Friday, May 9th, really important pieces around building community, conscious masculine community, conscious men's community. So I'm doing a men's community gathering. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to have Dimitri, I hope I'm not hacking his name, Belisarius. He is a phenomenal teacher, yoga teacher. He has a beautiful practice called Pranadanda Yoga, which is a very masculine practice where you use a staff. He's actually Shiva Ray's partner.
Yeah.
If you're familiar with Shiva Ray. So we're doing this men's community gathering on Friday, May 9th. The info is on my website. You can go to my website. I think I have a poster right up, or go to events. And then I'll be teaching a bunch of classes at Shakti Fest out in Joshua Tree, which is always amazing. That's also in May. There's going to be a men's tent there. I'll be teaching men's classes. And then with my partner, we're doing a male and female class, a masculine and feminine class. And then I'll be at Lightning in a Bottle up in Central California toward the end of May. And that is always also a really beautiful experience. A little bit different than Shakti Fest, but you know, for those of you that know about it, it's a very fun festival, a transformational festival. And then I have more workshops coming up. I'm going to be hopefully in Nevada City in June and then in San Diego. And then, of course, my main thing that I really love to do is my men's initiation journey, which is a one-on-one three-month journey that I take men on, a one-on-one intensive, powerful journey into masculine confidence, sexual potency, and purpose. For men that are interested in that, actually, for anyone that's really interested in my, any men that is interested in my work, I would offer a one free session, one complimentary session, and we work by phone or Skype. Unless you're in the LA area, there's a possibility for in person. So you could email me zat@zatbaraka.com, zat@zatbaraka.com, if you're interested in. And usually, when I do these things, I can't do too many in 1 week, so. The sooner you email, the more chance you have of actually scheduling one. So that's for a free complimentary men's one-on-one coaching session. And if nothing else, you can walk away from one of these sessions with just having some support and having an ear and having someone give you some reflection back. But it is really for men that are interested in doing some one-on-one intensive work.
Beautiful. And we'll put all these links below to make it really easy. Good to have the sound with the visual. Zat, I want to thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your passion, and your encouragement and assistance in guiding those who come into your awareness and welcome themselves to work with you. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure being here, and thank you for supporting the masculine work.
I love it.
Yeah.
Once again, I want to thank Zat Baraka for joining us today. Please reach out. As you heard here, he's offering a free consultation for anyone that's interested in what he has to offer. Please email him. And we're going to exit out with a little calling a llama from afar. This is a longer sequence, but a beautiful time just to go inward and check in. Whether you're male or female, check in with your masculine energy and see where you would like to transform it. Until next time, this is she signing out with a deep bow, a full heart, a soft gaze, and a namaste. Be simply. Going
na, na.